I was just about to say piece of shit. Nothing to be cheated when you're watching this service. This last week I was reading different articles, and one of them struck me because it was just wondering when we will be able to open up again, when we will be able to go out normally, come back to church. And there was this healthcare expert from the University of Edinburgh who wrote the following: everyone wants to know when this will end. And that's not the right question. The right question is, how do we continue? How do we continue, or better yet, how are we to move forward through this pandemic? How soon can we go back to normal, but do we really want to go back to normal? What was before? The normal that was society before the pandemic, that so arranged in so precarious ways, people that have suffered so much this pandemic, just points out that definitely we cannot go back to normal. When millions lose their jobs and lose their life insurances and their health insurance, that just points out that what it was, what was normal, is no longer valid. So I want us to hold these questions, this anguish, this desire to go back, and to hold this stress, the fears, the angers that might be bubbling in our hearts, and to allow the gospel story of today to illuminate. As we sung in this sequence hymn, let us join the nameless mourners. Two disciples leave Jerusalem the Sunday after the crucifixion, the day of the resurrection. Yet, they have not experienced the risen Christ. Only some women have reported that the tomb was empty, and they had run this rumor that some angels, messengers from God, had come and reported that Jesus was alive. You see, the resurrection had already happened, but these two disciples had not yet seen it, had not yet felt the risen Christ in their lives. So these two leave the city with heavy hearts, gloomy and dejected. They probably felt anger that their master, their teacher, the one who they thought was the Messiah, had been delivered by the religious and political authorities. They say, our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. So imagine there was anger, frustration, all that they had invested, the powers to be, the political structure, the religious structure of the time, had taken away their dream and their master. Their expectations and their hopes had been dashed. They say, we had hoped that he was the one to redeem, to liberate Israel. The sequence hymn we just sung said it very poignantly. Who are you who walk in sorrow down Emmaus' barren road? Hearts distraught and hope defeated, bent beneath grief's crushing load. In the midst of this walk in sorrow down Emmaus' barren road, the risen one joins and starts walking beside them. Of course, the beauty of the story is that they don't recognize him. However, their eyes, Luke says, were kept, constrained, prevented from recognizing. I can identify with them. I can identify with these two disciples that had Jesus walking beside them, and their eyes are unable to be opened and recognized. Because how many times I, probably you, in the midst of confusion or anger or sadness, we are unable to recognize God's presence walking beside you, walking beside me. Does it happen to you? The risen one then admonishes them and us. How slow of heart to believe. How slow of heart. Can you imagine
Jesus gently upbraiding them. Don't be dull-minded. Jesus tells them, was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? How difficult it is to swallow this truth. I know many of us still say it. I can't stand Holy Good Friday. I can't stand the cross, the passion, and the death. I only want the joy of Easter. We want a job. Now, as they are instructed by the risen one, they arrive at their destination. This small village called Emmaus, some 7 miles away from the city, and Luke tells us, as they came near to the village to which they were going, Jesus walked ahead as if he were going on. They've always been struck by this detail. Jesus motioned. He arrived and he kept going. As if, goodbye. See you later. However, the two urged him strongly, Luke says, strongly urged him, saying, stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over. And I just can't imagine, if they had not taken that occasion, if they had not said to Jesus, whom they still had not recognized, hey, stay with us, they would have missed the whole encounter with the risen Lord. And I wonder in our own lives, how many times has the risen one been beside us and we have missed the opportunity to let him in, to say, oh, go, come, eat, dine with us. This story always invites me to consider when I'm feeling like the disciples, hopeless, dejected, overwhelmed, stressed out, holding on to these feelings that are sometimes so strong can prevent me from recognizing the divine presence that is walking beside me. And I have to recognize when I hold on to those strong feelings of hopelessness, of fear, of anger, I can miss the chance of having my eyes opened. The two disciples invite Jesus to stay with them. Something had stayed within them. Later on, the two disciples were reflecting, and they would say to each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, which he went while he was opening his scriptures to us? I think they paid attention to that feeling of heart being worn when they were being taught by Jesus on the road, even though they did not recognize him. And they followed that intuition. They followed that warning of the heart, and they said, let us invite him to spend the night with us. In the midst of this pandemic, I wonder, are we listening to our hearts on fire? They paid attention and did not miss this opportunity when Jesus walked ahead as if he would go on. So now, they enter the house, Luke tells us. And when Jesus had sat down with them at the table, he took bread, said the blessing, he broke the bread, and offered it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. What happened? Why do they recognize now the resurrected Jesus? Why at that moment? They will never tell the 11 apostles that they go back to Jerusalem how Jesus had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The key phrase here is, he revealed to them in the breaking of the bread. What does this mean? To break the bread is fundamentally sharing a meal. It means to connect with other in the most intimate way. Sitting at a table, sharing a meal together, and from a single loaf of bread, we're all fed. It is meant to describe the symbol of sharing who you are with each other. That is why the bread was broken, so that all would be fed by the same meal. This is what Jesus did when he fed the 5,000 that Luke describes in chapter 9. When he says, Jesus, taking 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. And all ate and were filled. What was left over was gathered up, 12 baskets of broken pieces. So the disciples, they recognized Jesus as he broke bread because it reminded them of Jesus' passion, of feeding the hungry, of splitting the meal that is so abundant with everybody so that all would be fed and filled. But it also has a deeper meaning connected with the Last Supper of Jesus, which was probably a Passover meal. When Jesus, who tells us in chapter 12:22, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given up for thee. Do this in remembrance of me. And he did the same with a cup at the supper, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. The disciples probably recognized what Jesus did in the Last Supper in this gesture at Emmaus. They recognized in that bread the promise that he would be with them, present mysteriously in the little piece of bread and in that cup of wine. They recognized the living presence of Christ in the elements of bread and wine shared by Jesus. I've noticed, and you notice, that when we celebrate the Eucharist, just before we invite you to come forward to take communion, the priest breaks the bread and holds it elevated for a while in silence. Have you ever noticed that? The instructions in our prayer book, in our Book of Common Prayer, usually make silence optional throughout the liturgies. It usually says something like, silence may be kept. However, in the moment of this Eucharist, when the priest breaks the bread, the instruction is unequivocal. How do you say that? Unequivocal. The celebrant breaks the consecrated bread, and a period of silence is kept. It is an instruction. We're invited to remain in silence with the broken bread in our hands. Why? Because it connects us to this story. It connects us to the story of the disciples of Emmaus. And the invitation is, open your eyes. Open your heart. Can you discover the presence, the living presence of Christ in the bread that is broken? The invitation is for you to be able to go out as the disciples of Emmaus and say, I have seen the Lord. I have seen the risen Christ in the breaking of the bread. So in the silence, as you look at the bread that is broken, let us receive the invitation to open our eyes and our hearts that they may be on fire in recognition of the risen Christ in our midst. So sisters and brothers who are watching and hearing this sermon, my invitation to you today, in the midst of these very troubling times, is, first, as the disciples, we need to recognize our stress, our sadness, even our anger, our fear. I think it is important to recognize these feelings and to be compassionate to ourselves and to others. Secondly, I invite us to wonder where our hearts are on fire. Because that heart on fire is an invitation of the presence of the risen one that is walking beside us. Thirdly, to wonder, how can we invite the divine presence to stay with us? For evening is at hand. Not miss this opportunity. Not allow the living presence of Christ to walk past us. And we miss the opportunity to recognize him. Fourthly, to observe deeply this breaking of the bread. To recognize that Christ is found precisely in the breaking of the bread, which can mean to be allowed to be moved by so many people who are literally breaking bread for others during this pandemic. Allow the breaking of the bread of so many healthcare workers, nurses and doctors and physicians and pharmacists who are giving all that they have to make sure that we are kept healthy. That is breaking bread. Our grocery store workers, postal workers, so many essential workers that are giving themselves and putting themselves at risk. Can you recognize in that gesture a breaking of the bread? Those who are opening up their pockets and sharing from their wealth to assist those who are in need is another instance where bread is broken. Here on Orcas, it has been an immense outpouring of generosity. OICF, the Food Bank, OPAL, OCRC, and many other agencies like Senior Center have been receiving a lot of donations to be able to assist those in need. Hundreds of thousands of dollars spent and shared in order to assist those who are having difficulties. That is an example of breaking bread. Can we see in that? Can we recognize the presence of the divine risen Lord? And finally, I want to invite you today, in a few minutes, when I break the bread of the Eucharist, to discover in that consecrated bread the real and living presence of Christ, who comes to feed us with his life and his divine presence. I invite you to pay close attention, and in that moment of silence, while I held the bread broken in my hands on high, I invite you to try to pray and ask, God, allow me to discover, allow me to recognize your presence in my lips, in my thoughts. Can you open your eyes? Can you open your hearts? Let us pray. The lucid God, companion on the way, you walk behind, beside, beyond. You catch us unawares. Break through the disillusionment and despair clouding our vision, that with wide-eyed wonder we may find our way. And journey on as messengers of your good news, that through your grace the world may be created anew.